Hallelujah to the Lord Most High. We thank Him for the privilege He has given unto us. And this is the Rock Audio Series, and this is Series 14 by God's grace. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you because of your mercy. Thank you for your help today and what you would accomplish through us today in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to look at effective prayer and communion. As a believer, one who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior, one of the things you must know that will help you in your walk with God is prayer. We have concluded the study of the Word, and I want you to know that the two work hand in hand. The one who has studied well is the one who will pray well. The one who will pray well, the Christian who will pray well, is the Christians who are, is the Christian who has studied the Word of God well. You cannot know about prayer except the Word of God teaches you about prayer. That's why we lay strong emphasis on the Word of God. But how well will the Word of God profit you if you will not pray the Word? So you see that none is greater than the other. You must study the Word of God and you must pray continually. The Bible teaches about prayer. Now, let me give you a background understanding of prayer. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Do not copy men's prayer or how they pray. You have missed the first lesson of prayer. Prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is founded upon relationship. One of the beautiful things about prayer is that God is not expecting you to pretend or be an actor in prayer. God is expecting you to pray. And to pray means to speak with Him, to discuss with Him, to dialogue with Him, to listen to Him, and He listens to you. That is prayer. Please, this basic understanding is important. Now, Satan tries as much as possible to mask prayer, to abuse prayer, to disabuse prayer, such that we miss this potent weapon. The apostle said we give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the Word of God. It's important for you to know that one of the profound things Jesus did is that He constantly prayed. Without prayer, many things will not be done. Because the Bible is God's letter to you, God's instruction to you. Prayer is the platform by which you connect with heaven. That's what makes prayer very potent. Because the Bible is with you, you can study and study and study and study. But when you now take what you study back to God in communication, then a relationship has started. He had sent the Bible, which is the letter. We have it already. We have it to glean from. We have it to study. We have it to obey it. But how will God hear from you? How will God check your heart except that through prayer, the platform has been provided? So prayer should not be misunderstood. Prayer is simple. Prayer is not complex at all. Many people have made complexity out of prayer. But the way to pray is already outlined in Scripture. The types and forms of prayer is already outlined in Scripture. And that's what this series will deal with. Listen, are you a Christian and you want to live above sin as a regular lifestyle? You know, every day you are supposed to be able to say, by the grace of God, today I lived above sin. And then another day comes, you say, I lived above sin. One of the dividends that makes you live above sin is, one, revelation from Scripture. Two, a consistent, continual praying. And take note of the fact, praying is the only way by which a man remains fresh. Because you have not prayed when you don't pray the Word of God back to God. You have not prayed if you don't stand on the premise of the Word of God. You have not prayed. But when you stand on the premise of God's Word, and on that basis you constantly communicate with God, then you are praying, trusting that the Holy Spirit will help your understanding. In Matthew chapter 6, I will read from verse 8. In Matthew chapter 6, I will read from verse 8. Let me start from verse 5. So that you can understand. And when you pray. So Bible didn't say if you pray. Bible already assumed. Jesus already assumed that you will pray. When you pray. He was talking about people who understood prayer. Because the Jews pray. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray. Don't just love to pray. but love to pray in the biblical pattern. These ones also love to pray. These hypocrites love to pray. But how do they love to pray? They like to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. You lose effective praying when you like to make prayer public. Now listen to me. When we gather in church, we pray. Because believers are praying. That's not the point. But when a man is praying and he wants others to know he's praying, he's not praying. He's only playing. Whenever you are praying, and it is that men may see, people may know, somebody may have the feel that you are a praying man or praying mantis or a praying machine, you have already lost your dividends of praying. The Bible says that they love to stand in the corners of the street that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. There's also a reward. And what's the reward? People will know you are a praying man. But you, look at the Bible, but you, when you pray, go into your room. See, people make complexity out of prayer, but I found my master Jesus made it very simple. Go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father. Please take note of the prayer is to your Father. Prayer is not to the enemy. Prayer is not to anybody. Prayer is not to your pastor. Prayer is to your Father. And take note of what the Bible says. I'm reading from New King James Translation. Pray to your Father. How do you pray to a father? Do you shout on a father? You see, because it's very, very important when you are praying. When you are praying to your Father, you are not shouting. Now, what made Jesus raise a loud voice on the cross? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He cried with a loud voice. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not because God is deaf. You see, prayer depends on the condition of your heart. If you're in agony, express your agony. When you are hurt, express your hurt. When you want to weep, cry before him. You see, prayer is not formed. You don't form it. Prayer is real. Presenting your heart as real as it is. When you feel like discussing with God in prayer, discuss. When you feel like singing, that's how it comes. Sing. You are praying. Don't let somebody tell you his own prayer life and prayer pattern and copy that upon your own life. This thing is a thing I have tried as much as possible under divine help of the Lord to clarify for people. And sometimes it looks as if you are not praying because you are not praying like so and so. And you are not speaking in tongues and ranting tongues and roaring in tongues. Today people roar tongues, you know, and all of that. And it looks as if the correct pattern to pray is to roar tongues. If another brother is just speaking in tongues very quietly under his breath, he's not seen as a praying man. No. If somebody else wants to roar in tongues, that is that brother. It is acceptable as long as he's in communication with God. If another brother is praying under his breath, but his heart is engaging the Lord, he's also praying. For that is the way he communicates with God the Father. Now look at this. When you shut the door, pray to your Father. Look at this. Go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sits in secret we reward you openly. Prayer is powerful and potent if it is done in the secret. It is secret praying that should beget congregational praying. The only prayer we know is public is congregational prayer. When prayer is personal, it has to be secret. This is the command of scripture. People can argue with it. If prayer is personal, it has to be secret. Somewhere where you are not seen. Somewhere where you are not known. If you have to pray compulsorily where people are, you must be as secret as possible. This is the dividend of prayer. Once you are praying to be seen, now it's possible whether you are praying in secret and people take note you are praying. That's different from when you want to pray so that you can be seen. When you are stayed in a place where you can be seen, as much as possible, hide when you are praying. That's exactly what scripture taught. If it's not that, why would Jesus always go to the mountain? Sometimes he will go and pray all through the night. Why will Jesus be doing that? What is the essence of that hiding in prayer? Only in few occasions do we find his own disciples, you know, finding him praying. And this is one of the examples. Verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Look at this. Look at this. Use repetition, but not vain repetitions. What makes repetition vain? It is vain because you think by much repetition, God will hear. Oh Lord, come down, come down, come down, come down, come down, come down. If that your repetition is because you are playing, you see, there are sometimes we pray and we are just playing. We are not doing anything. You are discussing with somebody. Imagine my child just comes to me now and just say, Daddy, give me, give me, give me my book, my book, my book, my book, my book, my book. If your child is saying that to you and you are a father, what will you tell that child? Am I deaf as to be repeating words like that before me? Or what are you insinuating? These are things that have wasted prayer. Prayer is a real discussion. Prayer is a real dialogue. Sometimes because of what the Lord has done for you or the awareness of the revelation of the truth of scripture, you burst out in worship. You burst out in praises. You can be there for 1 hour. You can be there for 2 hours. Brother, you are praying. From praying, he gets into the Lord, begin to show you certain things. Before you notice it, you want to weep, you can weep. You want to lie down, you can lie down. You are praying, sir. Listen, this is quite very key. The Lord shows there's a battle that looms near you. Now, when you are praying to God your Father, you discuss, you talk, you cherish, you praise, you honor, you worship. When you are dealing with demons and spirit, you use your authority. Now, take note. Whenever you are casting down out spirit, binding demons, you are not praying. You are commanding. It's different. You have to understand, everything may come generally under prayer. When Jesus cast out demons, he wasn't praying. And he cast them out. In my name, they shall cast them out. Whatsoever you bind, that's not prayer. That's releasing authority. When you come to prayer, it's to your Father. Your Father. Now, you are doing a prayer of binding spirit. Maybe the Lord showed you something, and then you take authority over his spirit and all of that. Brother, you are using the authority. Maybe your prayer got there. Are you with me now? When you began to use authority. But that's not prayer, because now you are standing on behalf of God. You are not praying to God, your Father. You are speaking to the devil or to demons, the words of authority. This is very important. Very, very important. Some people thought that when Daniel was praying in the Bible, he was binding the prince of Persia. No. The subject of Daniel's prayer was very clear. Talking about the time is up for you to deliver. Go and check the book of Daniel. Repenting of your sins, reminding God of his promises. While he was praying, and then the prince of Persia blocked the prayer, Daniel was not aware of any prince of Persia. So he was not wrestling as to wrestle with the prince of Persia. Let's be careful. Elijah was not wrestling with any prince. He asked that rain should fall, and he was talking to God. And until he see the sign that rain will fall, I will be here until God responds. He wasn't contending with any spirit. Take note of this. When the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in high places, and then he talk about casting down imaginations. Now, understand our wrestling. That means as we walk the earth, as we move on our journey to heaven, there's a struggle, there's a wrestling. This wrestling means the enemy we oppose or we oppose. How do we oppose the enemy? With the word of authority, with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, by binding and casting out, and then by giving the word of God, by prevailing over the heart of men, by speaking to God to prevail over the heart of men. Take note, we don't wrestle with the devil in prayer. Even the Jacob example was that he wrestled with an angel. And that was not because he was wrestling. That's a spiritual symbolic meaning of the stubborn attitude of the like of Jacob. God has been wrestling with his life. To cooperate with God, he will not cooperate. He went to be serving because of a girl, Leah, for 7 years. Another 7 years for Rachel. That man has been wrestling with God. It has a lot of meaning when you talk about the life of Jacob. We did not see Jesus Christ as our perfect example, wrestling with angels or wrestling with God. Every prayer Jesus prayed publicly, go and check Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every public prayer to God the Father was a simple thanksgiving and simple words of prayer. But when he is in the private place, he will spend longer time discussing, learning, hearing from God, and speaking to God. Are you following me? When it came to the issue of Gethsemane, that was when, because it was a struggle. Not as I will, but I will be done. That agony, that struggling, that submission to the will of God was the matter that brought us sweat. He wasn't struggling with the devil. It's about the will of God. Understand prayer, please. You see, when we say these things, it looks as if we are saying what is strange and what is odd. But this is the biblical pattern of prayer. I've laid the foundation of what prayer is. Now, Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. How? What is vain? You think that when you repeat words over and over again, God will hear you. God does not hear people because you repeated it. God hears a man because that man believes God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is faith in prayer that makes prayer effective. It's praying the word of God that makes prayer effective. This is very, very important. Now, Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. Therefore, do not be like them. Verse 8, Matthew 6, verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, somebody that knows what I need before I ask him, must I use repetition before him? Oh Lord, here am I. Send up, send up, send up, send up, send up, send up, send up. I'm playing. I'm playing. I should discuss the help. Talk with the Lord the way my heart is feeling. I will be here until there's a notable answer from you, Lord. My heart is open. And I want to tell you this. When a man's relationship with God is so strong, most of the time, he will dwell long in prayer on the issue of nations, on the issue of the kingdom, on the issue of honor and worship. You can worship God for 3-4 hours. You are still there. God is showing you a matter. You can be asking God to deal with the issues of your heart, and you are there for 2 hours. You are confessing and aligning your heart before the Lord. And then from there, many times you cross to authority, binding spirit, as God shows you spirit, territories. God shows you hindrances, then you are there, you take this one up, you bind it. You take this one up, you cast it away. You release the spirit of God and angels. You can be there for another 1 hour. You might have a list of people you want to pray for. You see that? You might begin to ask God in every meeting God is sending you to preach, or over the business that God gave you, or over your academics. And then you say, this one, chemistry 101, there's something I do not understand. This lecturer is giving me an issue. Holy Spirit, I submit that spirit now. I bind. You see, you can cross from talking to God, rush to prayer of authority and command, come back to talking to God. That is like, you know, a back and forth thing. So when you take prayer as a relationship between you and God, you end up spending hours. It's like when you are talking with the person you love. You are talking with your best friend. Now, when I'm discussing with my wife, I don't look at time. Oh, Lord, help my own heart even on this issue. I don't look at time until we exhaust the matter that we are discussing. That's when we talk about looking at time. As long as what we are saying engrosses our heart, time is not a factor. That is exactly how it is when it comes to praying, talking with the Lord. Now, this does not mean that you cannot, time yourself or say, Lord, I want to have a time with you for 1 hour from 7 to 8 a.m. before I go for my lecture, before I go for my office and all of that. But the issue is, God wants you to pray. Prayer is compulsory because since man fell in the garden, prayer becomes a necessity. Before the fall, there was no need for prayer. All we have was fellowship and communion. And the highest form of praying is to fellowship and to commune with God, which is conversation, which is enjoying fellowship with God. That's what the Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship, the koinonia, the communion. Those are the words. It's called fellowship. It's called koinonia. That word koinonia, I mean, is called fellowship. It's called communion. Yeah, no, it's called participation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the participation of the Spirit, the communion of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit. He said, if you see it this way, that praying is communion. Praying is togetherness. Aya, Holy Spirit, help me. Oh Lord, help my own heart. Just to learn to constantly practice praying. Satan will want to attack your praying because he knows that with you together with the Lord, he is in trouble. With you together with the Lord, constantly communicating with the Lord, constantly relating with the Lord, constantly dialoguing with the Lord, he's in trouble. Now look at this. He said, therefore, do not be like them. Verse 8, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Look at Jesus. Simple, clear, exact. In this manner, therefore, pray. How do you pray? Our Father in heaven. See, prayer is based on relationship, the fatherhood of God, and the sonship of we children. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Prayer is must be placed upon the foundation of honor, glorification. Don't ever be tired of worshiping God. Don't worship God with many songs today that have no bearing with God. Don't just sing song. You know, and all of that. Don't just read songs, please. I'm begging you. Don't just read songs. Songs that when you even look at the ways the singers sing them, you know that it has no bearing of genuineness in them. But nevertheless, any song that comes to your heart, this raises before the Lord. Worship God, hallow his name. And so you don't watch comedy where the name of the Lord is disdained. The name of God, the name of Christ, and the Holy Spirit. If such is found on your phone, you cannot be a praying man. Your prayer will not pass the roof of your room, because your prayer has no ascension. Prayer is like an incense that rises up to God, and it comes with the hallowing of the name of the Lord. The next thing in prayer is your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, when a man wants to pray, after you have as the basis the honor of God, the hallowing of his name, his works, and his acts, the next thing is you are passionate about his kingdom, you are passionate about his will. When you are praying and you at the deepest part of your heart, it's not about his kingdom, it's not about his will, your prayer will be useless. Your prayer has no bearing. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then you go to your personal needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Under that is all the needs you have. You see that the kingdom of God first come first in your heart, and his will come first in your heart before your own personal need. And from there, we deal with the issue, very important issue in prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God is saying here that nobody goes into praying that has unforgiveness in his heart. And then when you say, forgive me of my debt as we forgive those who trespass against us. And this is a platform whereby we are asking. Now, I want you to note this. Jesus Christ asking them to pray this prayer was operating based on their understanding. Jesus Christ himself did not ask for forgiveness of sins, because he was also a sinner. But there's a point here that if you have asked for your daily bread, then you check your heart and search your heart. Is there any matter for which you have gone wrong? The Holy Spirit will bring to your mind. In a situation whereby there is nothing the Lord is pointing you to, you move away from there. And do not lead us into temptation. The Bible says, watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. You begin to see, as you search your heart, you are asking the Lord, Lord, guide me away from this temptation. There is a lady that is getting too close to me. My mind is beginning to go emotionally there. Lord, guide me in this. This matter they are bringing to me concerning money, or this issue of pride that is near me now. Lord, guide me that I do not fall into pride. You see, you begin to bring your heart search in before the Lord, and you are praying and say, Lord, you see, till today, I still pray that prayer. My heart will not derail. My heart will not derail into things that are mundane. My heart will not derail away from the path of righteousness. I will not be found in the area of things where I'll be tempted. When the Bible says, lead us not into temptation, that's King James language. God does not lead into temptation. Now, the temptation here is different from testing. Matthew 4, and he was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. It's the devil that tempts, but God can test you. God has capacity. He tested Abraham. The Bible used the word tempt, but the word is testing. God can allow Satan to also test you. When God supervises a temptation, it is a test. Take note of this. But when you love something and you have a desire towards something, that's not a test. That is you being lured, and that is a temptation. The devil only tempts you with what you like. The devil cannot tempt you with what you don't like. The devil only tempts you with what you desire. Or the devil can tempt you what is a need to you. It can be what you desire, what you like, or what is a need, a genuine need to you. He can tempt you with that. Thinking that you can compromise your stand because of a genuine, legitimate need. Are you hearing this now? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. This one says, deliver us from the evil one. Now, take note that the evil one is the devil. And when the Bible says we should be delivered from the evil one, take note of this. Take note of this. The Bible didn't clearly say deliver us from the devil, but from the evil one. Because here, evil is the issue. Deliver us from evil was what King James said, old King James. Evil is greater than the devil. It was evil that makes the devil devil. Because there was no devil in heaven that told the devil to sin against God. It was evil, and evil is a knowledge. You must ask the Lord that he will deliver you from what subscribes to evil. Evil is the opposite of that which is good, and God is good all the time. Even though the knowledge of good and evil comes from the Lord, evil is not what you should subscribe to. But there's somebody called the evil one who can sponsor evil thoughts into your mind. There is somebody called the evil one who can send evil thoughts into your mind and can send evil around you. For example, when certain men have evil thought in their mind against you, you should learn to pray daily, deliver me from evil and deliver me from the evil one. I would like to put that scripture like that. Deliver me from evil thoughts that are against the Lord. Because man has capacity to think evil. But when man is crucified based on the works of Christ on the cross, evil thought dies in that man. He has capacity only to think towards good. But Satan can tempt you with evil thoughts. And that's what we're saying. I mean, with thoughts of evil. I mean, Satan can send you. There's a difference between evil thought and thought of evil. You need to read our book, The Settled Matter of Sin, to have understanding of that. So you pray, deliver us from evil. And then you close with, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the simplicity of prayer. It starts with the hallowing of God. It ends with the glory of God. It starts with the hallowing of the name of God. It ends with kingdom, the power, and the glory. The kind of prayer that God can never refuse. When you pray, don't first start with how many hours will I spend. Just pray. The more you build your relationship with God, the more intimate you are with God, the longer you pray. You don't start praying to want to say, I will spend 5 hours. I will spend 9 hours. That's not how to pray. You pray first on the basis of a reality, on the basis of, and then you see, learn first to conversate with God everywhere, in the kitchen, anywhere, bedroom, bed, talk to God everywhere. You are in the bus, conversate, you are praying. But you must, like a man does with his wife, like two lovers will do, who are under divine guidance of the Lord. They will separate time to be together. That's what, when you love someone, you will separate time to be alone with him. It's a manifestation of love. So if you love the Lord, you will also still separate time whereby all other things are suspended just for you to be with the Lord. So as you pray everywhere, practice praying as a lifestyle, because the Bible says, pray without ceasing, pray continually. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. So, but apart from praying continually and regularly, the next you must learn how to do is that separate time. Make it a Saturday, a free time. If you are the type that is working, spend some 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours with the Lord. When you are studying the word of God and you are meditating, prayer has started. That's another thing I want you to know. Because a man is studying God's word and he begins to say, oh Lord, this scripture is affecting me. Grant me grace. He's thinking on that scripture. He has already started praying. You can pray right from studying the word. It's not as if after you finish studying the word of God, then let us pray. No, sir. It's all interwoven. I hope this is helping somebody. You can be on the word of God, walk up and down, meditate on the scripture. Pray again, oh Lord, this light is getting to me. Help my heart. After you do that for some 10, 15, 20 minutes, you worship God, and then you start looking at the scripture, and then the scripture is eating you, and then you go back again to study, and then you pray again, and then you study, and then that's prayer. It can involve the two. May the Lord grant you light. Don't copy the way people speak in tongues. Don't roar because you want to roar like a lion in prayer. First, start praying the way it is real to you. If as you now grow in prayer, you want to roar, you want to shout, you want to scream, let it be as real, because it is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. That's James chapter 5 and verse 16. But what does it mean, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man? The fervency of a prayer is in the heart. Amplified said, the continual heartfelt prayer. It is when the heart is praying that prayer really is prayer. But when the mouth prays alone, it's not praying, it's playing. But when the heart prays, when the heart communes, and the power of prayer is in continuity, that's when prayer is most effective. You see, anything that is continuous, it has a great potential. Whatever is continuous, whatever is repeated. When I say you pray on Monday, you pray on Tuesday, you pray on Wednesday, you pray on Thursday, you pray on Friday, you pray, you become a man who lives praying. Prayer being continuous is what most makes praying powerful in a life. But when you pray on Monday and then you pray on Sunday, all the rest you are watching TV, your spiritual life will have a problem. Oh Lord, thank you for this. I pray that, Lord, it will be something that blesses your people and you will teach us much more as we look at the word of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.